Hi and welcome to my podcast, I Shouldn't Say This But. My name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. This week, I'm joined by a very special guest, the lovely Laura Williams, founder and director of The Modern Nursery. And I'm so pleased to have her on the podcast. The Modern Nursery is one of the leading independent children's stores in the UK, showcasing world-class products for kids' furniture, decor and toys. They definitely have a passion for educational and active toys, taking inspiration from Scandinavian brands and sustainable products. Laura's going to talk to us a little bit about how she came to start The Modern Nursery after a career in merchandising and a few years spent working at the global fashion house Burberry. We're also going to talk to her a little bit about how she has managed the culture of working from home whilst also homeschooling and how she's encouraged the team to take time from themselves. And we're also going to talk about the amazing work she's done to get the company where it is today. So without further ado, sit back, relax and enjoy this episode of I Shouldn't Say This But. Thank you so much for joining me, Laura.
You're welcome.
I'm so excited to talk to you because your business has been such a success story and there's so many bits of it that we can tap into. I'm going to start with some icebreakers though, if that's all right first, and then we'll dive into the nitty gritty. Who would be the first celebrity guest on your very own talk show?
I'd love to have Gary Vee on my talk show because he does a lot of talking and I'd love to ask him some questions and see him in that seat for a change.
Yeah, he says a lot, doesn't he? Yeah. So it would be interesting. What's the worst gift you've ever received?
Oh, I hate any kind of like memorabilia. So like, you know, a royal family mug or something like that is not my thing.
If there's one thing that you could look forward to doing when you wake up in the morning, what is it? If you have the time to even think, because I know you're very busy.
So at the moment, I'm doing really, really early start. So the one thing that I wish I could do at the moment is actually see my children in the morning, because I wake up before them and go out to work. And my husband does all the stuff in the morning and I do everything in the evening. So that would be my wish right now during lockdown three.
If you could time travel to your past and give yourself some advice, what age would you choose to go to and what would that advice be?
I think probably early on in my career, probably age 25, and I would probably just say, chill, everything's going to be okay, and have as much fun as you can now, because grown-up life, when you have responsibilities and businesses to run and a family to look after and bills to pay, is it's not as fun as everyone says it's going to be. So just have more fun now. I probably worked too much when I was younger. I was too serious and I could have more fun.
So talking about your career, that segues us really nicely actually into talking about your career, and it would be amazing to hear about your journey from the start of your career and what you started out in to where you are now being a founder of such a successful business.
Yeah, sure. So I started out in the fashion industry working for British luxury brands. So I started my career at Jenny Packham. I was there for 4 years and then I ended up at Burberry. I always wanted to work in fashion. I trained in fashion design at university and then I kind of made it my mission to, I always wanted to work in luxury, but I wanted to train in lots of different areas so that I could get a really amazing understanding of the industry and of how business works. So I started off in the production department at Jenny Packham. And then after a couple of years, I moved to digital. And then when I moved to Burberry, I was in planning and margins and all this really intense maths work, and then moved to digital again. So always coming back to digital. And I absolutely loved it. And I got so like a wealth of knowledge that really set me up for being able to do my own thing. And I think it probably was slightly calculated now when I look back that I did always want to run my own company. And so I knew I needed to understand all of these different areas of how a business works. So that when I came to that idea, I kind of knew how to do it and would have the bravery to go out and do it on my own.
That's really interesting because you don't associate the business side of a fashion business. When people talk about working in that industry, you always think of people want to go into it because they want to be around the clothes and the design and that, but you don't associate it with that. When someone's thinking of a career they want to go in, you don't hear of it very often.
It was an interesting choice, actually, because when I was applying for university, I couldn't decide whether to train in fashion design or fashion business. And I thought, well, if I go and train in design, I can probably pick up business in the industry, but I'll never be able to suddenly work out how to sew. So that's what I did. And then as soon as I started to work in the industry, I quickly realized that the clothes are amazing. You know, that it's in those two companies, it was everything I imagined it to be. There was a back room full of glitzy dresses and there were people tottering around in heels. But actually what really interested me was actually like the cogs of the business.
Interesting. That's really interesting. So you've done a bit of a pivot then in your career as well, haven't you? So taking different opportunities. What was it, the drive to learn more? Or is that one of the things that you picked up on, was like your driving force? Was it because you always had the vision to run something of your own?
Yeah. And I think, well, for me, the way it happened was when I was at Burberry, it was so inspiring. There were so many smart, clever people who were, you know, it was just amazing to work for them. But when I came to that crossroads of, okay, I've moved out to the suburbs now, I've bought a house of my own, I'm going to start a family, is this how I imagine the rest of my career, like getting on the train and going into London and working 12-hour days? I just couldn't see it. And at that same time, I thought of the idea for the business.
Amazing. And so how did it come about? What was the spark of inspiration?
Yeah, so we just moved out of London, lived in central London for 8 years, and we've moved from a one-bed flat to a three-bed house in the suburbs. And it was totally, no one had lived there. It was a new build. It had, you know, white walls and no carpet. So it was like a project, and it was that first opportunity to do something with interiors. And we did the whole house up in, you know, very pared back Scandinavian style, which I love. And then we found out that I was pregnant. And I went to do, at about 20 weeks pregnant, I went to decorate my child's nursery. And the offer on the market at that time was so uninspiring. You'd walk into the well-known high street shops that we know, and it was pink or blue. And that was it. And coming from that luxury fashion industry where it's constantly, you're reinventing the wheel and, you know, it's really fast paced, and to that just felt so behind the times. And I thought, there's something in this area, like, I know there must be other people like me that, you know, used to spend their money on bags and now want to spend their money on their unborn child. And you know, that you just have that sort of shift in your life and in perspective, and, you know, where you want to allocate your time and money. And so I started to look for products myself. So I'd look and I found some amazing brands doing the kind of thing that I wanted, but they were based in Denmark or Sweden. And so I decided to buy a couple of things just for me. And I would pay, you know, 15 euros for a blanket and then pay 15 euros for the shipping. And I thought, I know how to do this. And if I could buy in 20 units of that, the shipping would be a lot less. And I could set up a business where I bring this amazing product that is in Scandinavia over to the UK and sell it to parents or parents-to-be who have the same vision for their house that I do, that the nursery doesn't have to be a totally different style to the rest of your home. You know, toys don't have to be plastic and all the colours of the rainbow. Like, there were wooden toys around one day, you know, once upon a time. What happened to them? There's all these really noisy, annoying toys now. And, you know, sustainability and all of those ideas were kind of mixed up in this one idea.
So were you working at the same time, or did you just come, when did you decide, this is it, I'm going to do the modern nursery?
The idea came to me when I was still working, about 20 weeks pregnant. And then I went on maternity leave at about 36 weeks pregnant. And I thought, right, this is, I've got a year to make it work. And so I just had that as my goal in mind, that I would, you know, completely oblivious to the fact that I was about to have a baby and they take up time. I thought, I know what I'll do.
Amazing.
and see what happens and give it a shot. So I did that, and I had my daughter at full term. So I was 40 weeks, and I launched the shop. She was born in August, and I launched the shop in November. But actually, I loved it. It kind of, having a baby and kind of, you know, starting this business at the same time, it gave me purpose. It kind of, it made the transition from career girl to mum slightly easier for me. You know, she came along for the ride. We went to the post office every day together. I spend like my days with her and my evenings and nap times working. And for the first year, it was small, so it was copable. But yeah, it gave me a purpose alongside my new adventure as a mum.
How did your friends and family react when you told them that you were going to leave the world of fashion as you knew it to start a new homeware brand?
I think most of them understood. I remember my stepdad saying to me, you know, it's going to take you a really long time to earn the same money out of your own company that you're earning now. I think that was the only kind of strong piece of advice that I got. But it wasn't really about the money for me then. It was about kind of creating a lifestyle that worked for me and my family, and an alternative to that, you know, her being the first child at nursery and the last one to be picked up. And something for me to do to challenge me mentally whilst also, you know, going into motherhood and that journey. A couple of friends didn't really get it, but I don't think, and, you know, some friendships have been lost along the way and others have been gained, but I don't think all friendships are necessarily right forever. There are people that will come into your life at specific times, and they're right at that specific time, but not forever.
How did you find it at the beginning, especially managing being a new mum as well?
I loved it, actually. I really loved it. I found it harder along the years. So I found year 4 and 5 much harder. I was so kind of inspired by my new life, having left corporate life behind, and having come up with this idea that I knew had legs. It was just so exciting. I really loved it. And I had an easy baby, to be fair. lots of people think, you know, there's no way I could have done that. And I got lucky. She did sleep at night, so I could work at night. But I was inspired by the whole journey. I really enjoyed the first like year or two of just, you know, getting my hands dirty and really, really getting into the business and seeing it grow and seeing it work. It was harder later on by the time I had my second.
So how many years is that now? How many years ago is it since you started it?
So we were 5 in November.
Wow, amazing. And what's happened in that 5 years? Where have you, like, tell me about the journey of it.
Yeah, so for the first 9 months, it was just me on my own. I did everything from, you know, bringing the product into the country, setting it up on the website. When the orders came in, I would pack them and ship them, go to the post office the next day. And then at about 9 months, what would happen was that by the time my daughter would go to sleep, I would have too many orders to pack. I wouldn't actually be able to do any admin emails, and I was getting really behind. So I hired my first person then at 9 months, and that person actually just came to my house and packed the orders for like the first, I don't even know, six months she did that for. And then what I decided to move it to a distribution warehouse at that point, because again, she couldn't then pack all the orders in the time. We just needed more support. So moved to a distribution warehouse. So they then automatically started to ship our orders as soon as they came in, which was absolutely amazing and life-changing for the business. And then I hired, she then moved over to head up customer services. I hired a buyer. And so they were kind of my three pillars of staff, including myself, for the first 2 years. And then 2 years in, the growth started to become really, really quick. And we're hiring at the moment, and I'm at the moment hiring my 11th person. So that kind of shows you what's happened in the last 3 years. It's been a really exciting journey, but it has, the growth at that speed has been very difficult to navigate and manage. Especially when you go into starting a business, you start off the idea. You don't imagine that you're actually going to spend a lot of your time managing people and, you know, you're head of HR as well as head of product development. And for us last year, we had the biggest growth that we've ever seen, which was amazing on one side and very difficult to manage on the other.
What would you say then has been the most unexpected consequence you found since you started the business in that 5 years?
How emotionally involved you are as a founder. When you work for a company and you think you're all in, like I always worked at 110%, and you might not be able to switch off at the end of the day, but you don't carry it with you in the same way that you do when it's your company. So that emotional impact to, you know, the reason for setting it up, as well as having an amazing idea and wanting to run my own company, was also to have a slightly better lifestyle for being a mom and being around my children. But actually what I have found is it's a huge part of it all is that it carries with me wherever I go. I refer to it as my third child, and that was totally unexpected. So sometimes I might come in and, you know, be asked for a snack for the 50th time, and I just can't cope with it, because you're also thinking about something really serious that's been going on in the business, or something that really gets under your skin because it's yours. It's like your baby.
And how have you found coping mechanisms for that? What outlet have you got that you can use?
Yes,
it's not easy.
No,
is it?
No.
And especially being a solo founder as well, which is something that we've talked about previously, haven't we? It's like, where do you look for support?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of things. About 2 years ago, I started using the meditation app Headspace and learning how to meditate properly, which really, really changed everything. I got to the stage, I think it was about year three, I really struggled to fall asleep. It would take me about 40 minutes to fall asleep at night. And a friend told me about Headspace, and I started listening to it, and it turned 40 minutes into about 7, because I'd never reached the end of the episode. And I know you're not meant to fall asleep, but it really, really helped me.
It's his voice as well. His voice now, I can't, whenever I hear his voice, it makes me want to go to sleep. It's amazing.
So that was amazing. And now I can practice that without falling asleep in the day, or if I'm feeling stressed, or if I'm having just like an SOS moment, like I just need a bit of calm. And mindfulness in general. Exercise is another thing that is in the last year. So in year four of the business, everything became a little bit too much. And I just, instead of stepping back and doing something for myself, like self-care, I just threw myself in, and it was the total wrong strategy. I know everyone doesn't like New Year's resolutions, but I did make a New Year's resolution to join a gym, get fit, take time for myself. It was mainly for me. It wasn't about, you know, getting fit necessarily. It was about, I'm going to go to the gym for 45 minutes instead of going to sit at my desk and answering another email. Mm. And that helped hugely. And that's now a real part of my life. And the third thing is like trying to network with people, like trying to speak to other friends I have in the industry that run their own businesses, or reaching out to new people, or even reaching out to old people. I had, you know, a call with my old boss the other day, just to catch up, my old boss from Burberry, and just to talk through with her, like some of the stuff that's going on, because she was there for me, you know, 5 years ago, and we've stayed in contact, and she's still there for me now. So just reaching out to those people, especially as a sole founder, I think you have to be able to have an outlet and talk to people who get what you're talking about. And, you know, they might just listen, but it helps hugely.
Have you found that any sort of frustrations with being a female founder as well?
I haven't come across anything yet. The thing I would say is that there is definitely, and this has been highlighted slightly more because of COVID and working from home and responsibilities of taking care of children and things like that. I have noticed kind of across the board, just from speaking to friends, from seeing how it works in our house, but there is this kind of expectation that the female is the one, regardless of what they do for the job, that will just pitch in and take up homeschooling on top of what they already do. And that's something that me and my husband have really tried to not do. And we're very, very, like, we are going to do this 50-50. That is quite hard to look at when I see other friends who run companies who are going through that situation. And I just think it's often it's company down. So the company, their boss doesn't understand why they can't be on that call at 9 a.m. And, you know, maybe why can't, you know, presuming there's someone else there to help. And I struggle with that a little bit. I feel like that needs to be flipped on its head with the company so far, not that I'm aware of.
That's good. That's good. When was the, like, the one point when you thought, oh my God, this is really taking off now? This is the, when was the pivot moment when it went from something you started to answer a problem that you found to it becoming like that big turning point? And what do you attribute to that as well?
So we had a moment actually in the early days, my first experience actually of working with influencers, my first big experience, I suppose I should say, we sent a product to an influencer knowing that we would probably get some sales from it. But what it did was open a really big door for us in that the product that we sent was a playmat. The influencer photographed the playmat, but with a ball pit on top of it. So it's a product that we just didn't have in the UK at the time. It was an indoor foam ball pit so that, you know, you don't have to go to soft play full of with your child and bring that to home. And I initially thought, oh, that's a shame, because the ball pit took front and center of the image. And then we started getting hundreds of inquiries because she had tagged us in the photo. Where's the ball pit from? I want the ball pit. Can I buy the ball pit from you? And within a day, I managed to work out where it was from, ring the supplier, and order some ball pits to come over to the UK. And we released them on pre-order that night, and they sold out in like minutes. And I remember thinking, right, okay, we've got something here. And if I can execute this quickly and, you know, with the right cost and the right retail, and I know I'm first to market because I can't find them anywhere. That was a really exciting moment, and it's still one of our best selling products today.
You credit social media and influencers then as part of your growth strategy?
Yeah, I mean, it's been huge for us. It was kind of a seed in the idea as well, because I just didn't see anyone doing anything interesting in that space 6 years ago when I was looking for products. And I found myself being drawn to like one of the bloggers I'd follow. Like, I wanted like her lamp in the background. She wasn't talking about her lamp, but I was like, oh, I wonder where her lamp's from. And I thought, there's something in that, and it can't just be me. So then, you know, what if there's pictures of children's rooms with our products in them, not in a really salesy way, but just in an aspirational way. And that is what we do every day on social media now. And we're just trying to inspire our audience and add value. But it wasn't a thing back then. And it has turned into a thing whilst we have grown the company with that strategy in mind.
And do you still do it now? You're still using influencers?
Yeah, yeah. We've started to use them in a slightly different way, because obviously everything evolves. And in a way, the market got quite saturated. So in the last year or so, we started to work on more meaningful, bigger projects with influencers and celebrities rather than just gifting lots of product to random influencers. So we launched our interior design service in October of 2019. And we launched it with a pretty big bang, working with Fern McCann in the following February. And we went to her house. This is pre-COVID. And just totally renovated her playroom. Again, she had a blank canvas. She trusted us to go in and do our thing. And at that point, that was another point. That was probably the second pivotal point for the business. You know, everything went up. Sales went through the roof. Followers went through the roof. And it was, it showed the power of how you can work in a slightly different way, in a much more meaningful way, to get, you know, 10 times the result. And that was a really exciting moment for the business.
You've won a number of awards, including Best Lifestyle, Interiors Boutique, for 2 years in a row. How did that feel?
Yeah, great. Really, really nice. And often unexpected. You know, in the early days, those awards kind of put us on the map and gave that kind of nod to, like, this is working and this is really going somewhere and you're now starting to be recognised in the industry. And we won the Good Web Guide Award. That for me was probably the most exciting because I don't come from a tech background and that was a tech award. That was really amazing to receive that as well.
So let's talk about COVID. Let's talk about the year of change that we're still experiencing now and we're still in it. What has COVID done to the business?
So COVID impacted us in two ways. The first was that sales went from 30% up on last year to 150% up on last year in 1 month. And that was our best month of sales we'd ever had in the history of the business. There was just absolutely huge demand for climbing frames and sand pits and things like that where the parks shut. So parents couldn't even take their children to a park. All they could do was take them for a walk. So everyone turned their back gardens into a park, which was amazing for us. But off the back of that, we had huge supply chain issues. And we just couldn't get enough stock for the demand. But it was also things like indoor play apparatus, so indoor climbing frames and tunnels and tents and educational play. But the second thing that happened was that all of my staff, who are mothers, got sent home from the office to be at home with anywhere between 2 and 3 children, also having to homeschool. So not only did we have like 3 times the customer inquiries and the phone was ringing off the hook and the email inbox was going crazy, we also were trying to manage from, you know, on a human level. Like there are people that are working for the business are also under this immense like stress from having kids around, from having to homeschool, from having to, you know, operate at home with 3 times the work. So that was really, really hard to deal with. And for me, it was difficult because I wanted to make sure my staff were all okay. I also knew I had to be making sure the business was working. But there was almost like an element of shame as well that the business was doing so well when all around the world people were losing their jobs and loved ones, and you couldn't celebrate it. I couldn't say, oh well, the business is doing amazing, because I felt that that wasn't the right thing to do. So there's also a kind of emotional element to it that was difficult to kind of work out.
That's hard because you set your company up with the intention of it doing the best it can, and as soon as it does, you can't celebrate it because you feel like it's not the right time. So I hope that you have celebrated a little bit in private.
Yeah, I think I've managed to step back. Where it's gone on so long now, COVID, I've managed to step back and look at that time. And yeah, it was amazing, like, time for the business that sent us into a new stratosphere. And we have managed to stay there and see. And we were much better prepared for lockdown 2 and now lockdown 3. But we're much better set up now. And so are all the brands that we work with. So we do, there's not such a huge strain.
How are you coping with lockdown 3 and homeschooling? And then what have you done for staff? As you mentioned, all your staff are all mums. What sort of things have you put in place from a culture perspective and a people perspective to help them?
For me, lockdown 3 has probably been the hardest one because it just feels so long that we've all been dealing with this. I definitely feel, I'm definitely very aware that, like, part of working for the modern nursery for my staff is, you know, we all like get together and brainstorm most people have had that opportunity since having children, going back into that kind of office environment and, you know, having a laugh with colleagues and coming up with ideas and being really creative together. And the distance does take that away. You can't really have that on Zoom in the same way. And we try, but it just isn't the same. But I've always been really, really passionate about flexible working. You know, I know that I can work the same amount of hours that I used to at Burberry, but in my own time. It doesn't have to be 9 till 6. It can be 9 till 3 and then, 8 till 11, or it can be like this morning I started at 6 a.m. It doesn't have to, you can be flexible with your hours and still run a really successful business. So I have, all of my staff have the opportunity to work the hours that suit them. And we've done that a lot during lockdown. So we've changed the rota, multiple times as to who customer service is slightly different because we need someone to be there to answer the phone. But everyone else, as long as the work is done, I think this companies are evolving and we just have to, COVID has meant that people and companies need to look at things slightly differently now. So much more flexibility in hours. We have a group WhatsApp where we send fun messages as well as work-related messages, just like keeping that chat up. Send pictures of our wine glasses on Friday night to each other. And for me, just congratulating them on how hard they've worked that week, just small things to say, I really appreciate you and I couldn't actually do this without you because I couldn't now. It's really, really important just to keep morale up and keep us working as a team.
Nice. What's for the future then? What have you got in the pipeline? What can you tell us?
So, there's a couple of, streamlining things that really, really need to be done. Where the company's grown so quickly, especially in the last year, I really need to hire more people, which we're doing at the moment, in order to bring, separate teams properly, bring in some hierarchy to those teams, in order for me to step back and have a bit more of a strategic approach and really lead the company. I still am in the nitty-gritty and I know I shouldn't be. So that is definitely something that I am going to master this year. Vision-wise for the future, I think there's some really, really interesting things going on in the TV world. So you see some of the biggest trends during lockdown, shows that are doing amazingly well on Netflix, like Dream House Makeover and Get Organized with the Home Edit. And there's something in that I'm curious about, kind of tapping into that audience and understanding that world a little bit more. In the way I kind of felt about Instagram all those years ago, when I was noticing something going on with influencers who didn't even realize they were influencers yet. So that's something we can watch this space on.
So I'm going to finish the podcast now, because the podcast is called I Shouldn't Say This But, so I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot, because each episode I open up with honesty and I talk about subjects that someone in my role as an MD probably would usually avoid, such as anxiety, imposter syndrome, fear of failure. So would you mind ending this podcast for me with an admission of something that you probably shouldn't say, whether that's about struggles that you faced during your career, a secret about lockdown experience that you haven't told anyone, your own personal demons, or what you'd like to change about yourself? So I'm going to say, Laura, I shouldn't say this, but over to you.
So I sometimes find myself lusting after my old life. And especially working from home, sometimes I look at my husband, I know he's working hard, but I get jealous that he can walk straight back in the house and pretty much automatically switch off. And I just think about that sacrifice of building a business. It also takes that control away slightly, that I miss being able to leave work and go to the pub for drinks with our friends and where you're the boss as well, you can't moan about things to your staff unless you have a co-founder. So it's that, okay, sometimes I'm just like, oh, wouldn't it be easier if I just still worked at Burberry? Even though that wasn't never the mission and I love what I do, but that would be my answer.
perfect answer. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best for the future of the brand. It's amazing, it's beautiful. Where can they find you? Where can listeners find you?
So our website is www.themodernnursery.com. You can also find us on Instagram @themodernnursery. And you can find me on Instagram, Laura_themodernnursery.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Laura. That was great.
Thank you.